would be presumptuous for me to say that I could tell you what college people are thinking, but there is a very reliable and large survey of college thought carried on annually by Chronicle of Higher Education, which is the newspaper among those who are mixed up in higher education. It's where everybody looks for a job, and it's where they all watch for the latest trends and stuff. And they annually do a survey of 198,000 students. That's a lot of college students. So it's a pretty good cross-sampling of what college students are thinking about. Let me preface in this way. How many of you are in college? How many of you... You forgot? How many have kids in college? Young men and women in college. Okay. How many have young people about ready to go to college? Yeah. Well, some people got their hands up all the time. They just don't know when to quit. The thing that I encounter is something like this, and this is a very broad and general kind of statement. A general terror in the minds of some parents who are about to ship their young'uns off to college. On the basis of what they've heard about what happens on college campuses, they're in a state of some sort of fear. I think that realities may alleviate some of that fear, maybe. A college student comes home from college and demonstrates to a parent vocally their experience at college. And one would sometimes formulate the opinion that the whole scene is like that. The complaints are something like promiscuity, and they may have had a roommate, and so the judgment is that everybody is promiscuous. Or Bible study all the time, and they may have had a Bible study not in the room, and they judge that everybody else does that. Sometimes the judgments that you get from your own students who are trotting off to college need to be regarded as rather narrow experiential understandings, valid, but not the whole scheme of things. And, you know, in terms of parents, I think you need to listen carefully, critically, to the kind of things that are reported about behavior on the college campus. The behavior can be reported as excuse or reality. Does that make sense? I mean, everybody's doing it. It's a neat way to defend some decisions that an individual has made. Well, there will probably be a lot of questions that you will want to ask me, but I'll do the best I can here to share with you some facts that uncover annually, and you can debate and argue with them, but they're broader than any of our experiences. They're far broader than mine. I monkey around with a couple thousand students at Capital University, and I think their thought patterns fit pretty much those that will be expressed here. You can't understand the board because I tried to do some abbreviations, but let's go down the board. Probably most of you can see them. In terms of abortion, how many students think abortion should be legalized? And I say again, this is about 200,000 students. I have three sets of figures. This is an interesting phenomenon, and I'm not doing this as a sales pitch. It is provided by a non-commercial, a disinterested organization that sells papers. These figures are the opinions of people at state public institutions. The middle figures are the opinions of those in the sampling from Protestant-related schools, St. Olaf, Augustana, Capital, wherever. And these are from specifically Roman Catholic institutions. For example, look at those who think abortion should be legalized. 55% in the state institutions, 46% in the Protestant, and 31% in the Roman Catholic institutions. It really does depict a traditional, moral, church-related kind of stance on that kind of an issue. You would expect the Roman Catholics to be most opposed to abortion.
And you say this is a percentage.
This is a percentage. Of the 200,000, surveyed, so many in each thought it should be legalized, abortion. I don't know if there are conclusions that you can or can be drawn from this unrelated to one of those Protestant organizations. And I think that it can be said that there is a different kind of moral fiber, at least the moral thinking, in some of those church-related private institutions than there are in the state institutions. We've been saying that, and there seem to be some figures that indicate that. This question about live together says it is all right for people to live together before marriage. In the public institution, 47% say yes, 32% in the Protestant, 37% in the Roman Catholic. It really doesn't make sense. You can't have abortions, but it's all right to live together. That's the way Roman Catholics are anyhow, right? I hope there are some in here to defend this. Are there? Nuts. Too bad. You'll see these kind of inconsistencies throughout the thing, I think. But a considerable difference between the two kinds of institutions, the church-related far less. Live together, half almost in the public, a third in these others. Like each other business is that excuse. It's all right for people who like each other to have sexual relations, naturally out of marriage. When you get married, it doesn't make any difference whether you like each other or not. Why are you laughing? 50%. Big drop, 34% in the Protestant, 36% in the Roman Catholic. If you like each other, it's okay to have sexual relations. Do you think that all the college people that go off to college all of a sudden start having sexual relations in this day of loose moral standards? When I talk to parents, I get the feeling that that's what they believe. That everybody is living together on college campuses. They're spending the night with somebody else. And maybe you know a lot of people who do. But in terms of this sampling, those are the percentages. This question is this: that homosexuality should be prohibited. Homosexual behavior should be prohibited. These are the people who are against. These are the people. No, I got to stop and figure that out again. Homosexuality should be prohibited. That means these people are for. No. What are they? All right. 50% in the state institutions, public institutions, say yes, it should be prohibited. 56 Protestants say yes, it should be prohibited. 46 Roman Catholics say it should be prohibited. Half of the people think homosexual behavior should be outlawed, banned, prohibited. Women's activities should primarily be confined to the home. That's this question. Public institution, 28% said, yeah, women should stay at home. Protestant, 31%. Roman Catholics, 23%. Again, that's not... I don't know, the Roman Catholics are totally liberated in some areas and they're really confused in others. That's very significant. Far more Roman Catholics feel the women should get out. Maybe, I don't know how to explain those figures, but there they are. That the large family should be discouraged. Large families should be discouraged. 51% public agree, 53% Protestants agree, 37% Roman Catholics. There again, it's very traditional. Roman Catholics more for the large families. That's why they want to get out of the home, because they got all those kids. Just came to me. All right. Women, equality in jobs. Female equality in jobs. Public institutions, 92%. 91 in Protestant, 94 in Roman Catholic. A high percentage of persons feeling that women should have job equality. That's until they graduate. And when the men can't find a job, then they're all opposed to women getting jobs. Marijuana should be legalized. 51% in the public, 36 in Protestant, 46 in Roman Catholic. A small percentage of Protestants thinking marijuana should be legalized. 36%. That really surprised me, that figure. These are just a couple of others that I threw in. There were a whole lot of other questions, but I didn't think they'd be of any interest to you. This was interesting to me. In all the furor around the country about busing to achieve equality in the educational systems at the high school levels and the public school levels under secondary schools, in the state institutions, 41% thought busing should be a practice, 38% between the Protestants and Roman Catholics. I guess college students probably reflect pretty much the mentality of their parents when it comes to a question like busing, that generally they're not in favor of. That this is kind of interesting too, that individuals can do little to change society. That's a pessimistic question. Individuals can do little to change society. 45% of the graduate, or 45% of people in public schools say yes, you can't do much to change society. 40 in the Protestant and 40 in the Roman Catholic. You can't do much. Individuals can do very little to change society. Less than half of the people in college feel that way. That is a pessimistic question. It gets even more pessimistic because the figures also included predominantly black schools. And in connection with that question, 49% of the, 49, that's the highest percent of the black students in predominantly black schools said they could do little to change society.
A question.
Question.
Do you have any idea, or does it indicate the percentage of state students of the 200,000 of Protestant and Catholic, the percentage of each one? Did they give that?
In the sampling, no. No.
This kind of bothers me with this.
Well, I don't.
Because it's hard for us to know from where we sit now how many of the 200,000 fits into each category.
It doesn't make any difference. Out of the 200,000, they know who are in each institution, and these are the opinions of those that are sampled from those institutions. So it's a good representation of those in Protestant schools. There is no percentages against each other, or these percentages aren't out of the total. Those percentages are out of just the Protestants, out of the Roman Catholics, out of the public school.
Public East Coast, West Coast, South, North, or?
Across the nation. Nationwide. Yeah, they're not broken down regionally. There might be some differences if there were regional breakdowns. Another question here.
Yeah, I want to what do you assume about the other 55% on the top of an abortion? What are the other 45 then in favor or not in favor, whatever this one was? Or are some of them no response or no, don't know? What do we assume about the other percentages we don't see there?
I think those aren't questions on there. That the question simply is, do you think abortion should be legalized? And the answer is yes. And there are no other opinions. I mean, like, no, it shouldn't be, or I'm not sure, or anything like that. Just one simple question.
So they only answer if they agree?
Yes. Agree or disagree. And so I think you can probably assume that the others disagree.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, it's not that pessimistic for 41% of the people to say that, or 49% to say there's an individual can't make a big difference. I mean, 51 of them still do this.
Yeah. That, you know, I'm probably you're surprised that only 55% of the students or less think that abortion should be legalized. I don't know what your reactions are to this kind of expression of feeling.
Do you know what the surveying technique is?
Yeah, it's a very standard test that is given to the students as they enter into the college. And a large number, maybe some of you filled these out when you went to school.
Are these all done by freshmen?
Entering freshmen. 4 years at college.
That's a good point. They're all entering freshmen. They're the mentality of the people as they come into the institution.
So before they even,
I'd like to have their parents' date.
That would be fun.
You could have the same ones filling out as seniors, graduating seniors.
And the sad, you know, an unfortunate thing is that the surveys that are taken at the end of college, the biggest and the best one that I know of, and it didn't relate to all of these questions, came out of Harvard. Harvard has done a number of tests and efforts to determine what effect does a college education have on an individual. And the Harvard tests, and I'm just going from memory, I should have thought of that and brought that along too. The Harvard tests indicate a firming up of most of the moral standard at Harvard.
You mean by the end most people conform more to whatever we consider mainstream society by firming up?
Could it be said are less to be swayed by anything that went on during the 4 years that changed their mind from their first vote, so to speak?
I think that you would find in the end of the survey probably a bigger percentage down here, like a question of busing, and I think you would probably find a shrinking in terms of questions like abortion, and these would probably be pretty much unchanged in terms of living together and sexual relations before marriage. That kind of thing. I'm skating on thin ice. I'm just trying to pull together a survey that I read, you know, in the middle of the school year that Harvard put out, and they've done it for a number of years. So let's not make too much out of that, okay? I'm not really positive. Up here.
I have a question. You said on the marijuana one that you were surprised. Do you expect to be higher?
Yeah, I expect it to be much higher. More people in favor of legalizing marijuana.
So this is more or less really values that they formulated at home and not any influence from the school they've been to.
Yeah. It's the kind of stuff they walk onto the campus with, pretty much. But you see that the people who walk onto the campus, there's a difference in the kind of climate that must be established in the different places. John?
How do you think college would affect the marijuana question?
After 4 years.
Yeah, after 4 years.
I think that the marijuana question would be solved at college by a lot of students. I think they would go there
try it. Find out it wasn't any big thing.
And by the time it was over, back to some earlier standards.
Because national trends say now that among high school students, they're giving up marijuana and other drugs and going back to alcohol.
And alcohol is the number one drug problem on all college campuses. It's not marijuana, it's not hard drugs. Those are in the minority, really in the minority, and it's alcohol which seems to be the socially approved form of getting high. Now, there is less concern expressed by college students over a drunken roommate than one who is high on some kind of drugs. And faculty and everybody else probably are more concerned about those, and parents. They're all more concerned.
Most of the time.
No, let me finish. Probably parents and faculty and others are more concerned about marijuana and other kinds of drugs when they see evidence of that than they are with alcohol, because, you know, most of us think that alcohol is kind of okay. And a lot of parents are saying, oh, it's just beer, goody, I'm glad it's not marijuana. Which is bad news. You know, alcohol is a kind of a problem. I'm sorry, question back here.
Well, it's bad news, but I mean, you gotta make it up. The bad effects of alcohol and the bad effects of marijuana is about the same.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That alcohol is just as bad as marijuana. Any other kind of questions here? What are your reactions in terms of...
I would really like to see what the situation would be after 4 years of college. I think this is kind of optimistic. Gives me a sense of happiness to see that it isn't worse.
You want to see it worse.
I think from all we've read in the papers and so on, the cost of society is really going down. But this gives us a sense of hope and expectation. But it would be fun to see what really has happened too.
It doesn't really make much difference from what you're saying, whether they're high school graduates or college people, because there's a favorable response for you. You don't think it doesn't reflect the kind of situation you sort of anticipated, so you're happy about that. I am really confident, and I think I can say that you would be even more surprised by the same kind of survey at the end of college. Primarily because not everybody makes it through, and those who survive, those who survive are really pretty strong people. They've got their heads together in a lot of things, and they know where they're going, they know what they're thinking.
Also, it's a matter of the first year or so, it seems everybody's trying, you know, they've got all this freedom, they've got everything, seeing what's going on, they don't know quite how to handle it yet, and as they go along, they start to get something definite, and so towards the end, I think your guidance are pretty well set.
Right. Almost all the surveys in that Harvard survey confirms that. Somebody said that college is a good place to try a lot of things without getting a record. You know, in other words, there's a lot of truth to that. You sample some things, you're involved with people, and in the midst of that kind of protected community, you try some things that you probably might not get away with someplace else. And you get over it, and try it, and it's no good, and get on to some more important kinds of things. Yet, it disturbs me considerably that at Capital University, for instance, there are these ideas that 30% of the students are tearing up their rooms and tearing down the buildings, or at least 50% of them are destroying everything in sight, you know. We have one administrator who doesn't do much to dispel that myth, and at the end of the year he always makes an annual inspection of the dormitory damage. And to hear him talk in public, you'd think that every student just tore everything out of his room. And he was sitting at table with another administrator who accompanied him on that final inspection at the end of the year. And I said, Now really, tell me, how many rooms are really destroyed beyond normal kind of use? Is it 30%? And the other administrator says, oh no. I says, is it 15? Oh no. Is it 10? Nah. He says, it's about 5% of the rooms really suffer a great deal of damage. But to hear the reports out of students that go back home, you'd think that everybody was tearing the building apart. You know, now that's from the people who have to repair it.
Asking a survey what happened to Holden Village or something. I think 5% is too much.
Okay.
I mean, that's
at Holden Village it would be too much. At an average college campus, it's not. Hmm. No.
Has that always been so, though?
Yeah. It's been that way forever. It's not any worse.
Well, they have to pay for that damage, don't
That's
they?
Right. At Capitol, for instance, it used to be whoever got caught had to pay for it, but now they split up the cost for all the people on the floor, and you'd be surprised what happens. I mean, they don't let a lot of people get away with things anymore. Here was an observation.
Well, I just graduated from the University of Washington, and our dorm had an increase in vandalism, especially during this past year. And a lot of destruction was done, like we had a lot of windows broken. We had these big hooky windows to replace them. It was really expensive. And most of the damage that was done was windows that were broken by people usually not in the dorm that would be walking down the hall and they were drunk. And they were caught. And so the money would come out of our funds, which raised our room life.
That, I think that's a story that can be told in every place, that the damage that is caused by a very small percentage who are generally having an alcohol problem.
And frequently are off-campus people who happen to be visiting there.
That's sometimes the case, but not always. You know, we'd like to blame it all on off-campus people. That cannot be done. What I'm trying, you know, I have a hidden agenda, and part of my hidden agenda is to get the mommies and the daddies in the world, and especially those who are part of the church, that are supporting colleges in the church, to realize that the colleges are full of their kids, and they're not rotten. They're not rotten. These young men and women in college are, you know, are beautiful, and the stories of abuse and gross misbehavior and sexual abuse and all that kind of stuff, in general, are grossly exaggerated. Are grossly exaggerated. You can find any kind of lifestyle you want to find on a college campus. At Capitol University, for instance, there are Christians there who don't think I'm good enough to even pray. Right. I'm not, but I sometimes don't think I would want to. You know, that kind of dedication of some sort. And then there are, of course, those who are totally not with the church at all. Against it, that kind of thing. I want to throw out a couple of other things. You know, those people who enter college, where are they going? What kind of objectives do they have in mind? And I wish I had more blackboard space. But when people start into college, this is what they're after. And there isn't a whole lot of shifting of this either. Number one desire in going to college is to become an authority in a particular field. Number one choice of the 200,000 sampled. Second, to be able to help others in difficulty. Second choice. Third choice, or third, you know, goal for which I'm striving. to develop a philosophy of life. Fourth, raise a family.
Go to college.
This is life goals, you know, life objectives, you know. And fourth is to raise a family. I guess maybe some people need to go to college to learn how to do that. Their parents never had the nerve to tell them. This is interesting. Fifth in importance, being very well off financially. Fifth. Sixth is to achieve recognition from colleagues. Seven, successfully own a business. Eight, keeping up or involved in political affairs. Nine, develop racial understanding. 10, influence social values. Now these are the things that students have in mind, and this is the order in which they put them. 11, learn, get involved, you know, directed toward community action. 12, Harvey, environmental cleanup. Trouble is there are only 18 choices. 12, environmental cleanup. 13th, administrative responsibilities. 14, influence political structures. Boy, that's low, isn't it? 15, achieve. Oh, if Rich Kimmerer was here, he'd die. 15th in priority is achieve prominence in a performing art. 16th, writing and original works. 17th, an artistic creation. And 18th, developing a contribution to science. Last place is a strong desire to make a lasting contribution in the area of science. Science isn't a high priority in terms of people entering college these days.
That's because Ying is in and Yang has gone its way out.
Yang is still with us, though, according to these figures.
Yeah, see, you got science and artistic creation all at the
Yang
bottom.
Yang is still with us for a number of years. Because in the 60s, I saw a similar thing to this, and year was 6, 7, and 8 were down along the 16, 17, 18 spot, earning a living, making more money, managerial positions in companies and that sort of thing was way down, and things concerning the Vietnam War was way high.
Yes.
In the early 60s.
These are pretty much reversals of 60 figures. 50s and 70s would be very similar. 60s were a magical decade of ups and downs or backwards. But most other times are like these in terms of objectives through higher education. What kind of, you know, this thing doesn't need to go on forever. I mean, we could be done right now. These are the kind of facts and statistics that I have to present to you. One of the things you can seemingly draw from, oh, I wanted to say this, the difference between the public and the private schools, or the Protestant Roman Catholic, the differences in goals or objectives were separately tallied, but there are almost no differences. In fact, more than half of them are in the same position, and they're just like one or two positions off. What people are expecting, it doesn't make any difference whether you're Protestant, Roman Catholic, or just involved in a public institution. But there seems to be a difference in at least the entering moral standards, and I think those moral standards are pretty much the same. Yeah.
I imagine that these 18 things were written out and then people just ranked them.
Right.
So
right.
Part of that result could be a reflection of the wording too. Like that number 18 about what making a lasting contribution to science or something like that, you know. That's a kind of a, it sounds...
No, let me...
How is it stated?
That's like a lot of work.
I abandoned the sciences myself when I was in college. That's still disastrous.
It says making a contribution to science here.
Really?
Yes.
That mile.
That mile.
You know, I was thinking you were saying that one of your hidden agendas was to make people realize that our society is not completely decadent.
That's part of it.
Good kids going to school. I guess I feel a little bit saddened, though, because there isn't a difference between religious organizations and state schools in terms of the ranking of goals. I would wish that the religious schools would have higher on the list political involvement, social concern, justice, peace.
Well, it's after that we might expect a difference, and we don't have the figures after. What I think these figures reflect is maybe a little bit of what we were trying to talk about last night, that people who enter these institutions out of the Protestant and Roman Catholic churches have no different value system or expectations out of higher education in terms of service to the community, etc. And the deficiency in that has to go back to the local church, that they are not concerned about a lot of things by the time they graduate from college, is a deficiency in the church experience. Right?
You mean by the time they graduate from high school?
Yeah, by the time, if I said anything other, I was wrong. Yeah, that the graduation from high school, they have not been affected differently than the culture has affected all the masses, which was what we were trying to say last night, that culture has a severe impact even upon the behavior of church people. Back there behind the post.
Yeah, it seems like, I think Herman was referring to this, but a lot of those church-related kids are going to state school, right? In large.
Yeah, the majority.
Because they can't afford the parents.
I want to contradict that statement. That they can't afford the private schools.
All right, I'll take it away. I don't know that. But a lot of Protestant Catholic kids are going to state schools, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that breakdown isn't, not exclusive.
I know, but
I'm just curious. Do you think that the non-church related private schools would kind of follow the trend of the public schools? Do you think they tend to be more? I don't know. Harvard or Yale, kind of Radcliffe.
Those are listed as just private institutions.
Yeah, and they're not included in this survey, right?
Yeah, but I don't have the figures.
Oh, I see.
I don't have them listed up here, but they are in the survey.
Oh.
Public, private, okay. Private, okay. Protestant, okay. Private Roman Catholic.
Just to make a generalization of the number of people that I've known that have gone to church-related colleges, I have not seen any more social awareness or social consciousness on the part of those individuals than I have of those that graduated from the private institution.
That could be. It could very well be, and I don't know a survey that would indicate any other. Yes?
Sometimes the people who get confirmed don't go to church too much after that time. Won't influence their thinking very much by the time they graduate from high school, any more than those who don't go to church. A lot of times, too many of us think confirmation is graduation from church, and leave it for a while.
Well, just speaking of Catholic University, I think it would be true like St. Olaf and wherever, that a large number of those students that come to Catholic University who are really church-related have been up to their ears in the church. They're active in all kinds of organization and president of the Luther League and all that kind of business. And their social awareness is blah. Absolutely blah.
What's in that social awareness?
Concern.
Like newspaper stuff, that? Or
just a knowledge of current events, the necessity of conserving gasoline, or care about busing and black and racial relations, you know?
But that's, I'm not sure that I know what you're saying, but I think I might, you know, I think that kind of bothers me a little, because it's not too much. You're talking about a kind of a newspaper awareness. I'm not at all sure that I believe in newspapers at all. And I think that's just one view, you know?
Well,
I mean, there's another kind of social awareness because there's more than one world.
Then what I really mean when I say social awareness maybe is better said social concern. You know.
Not even care about us.
What do you anticipate for the 80s? I know that's a projection, but some of these continued trends, anything of a more radical nature?
I really don't know. I haven't got a place for it. I don't think so. I think one of the things the 80s is going to bring is the death of a lot of these institutions, Protestant and Roman Catholic. They're dying like flies. And, you know, I think it's an item of concern, and I'll express it. The amount of money going into public institutions is very important. We need them. But the public institutions are controlled by the whole political scene, and the lack of freedom in those institutions is something to behold. In terms of the private institutions, the successful ones are the very fundamental institutions, like Oral Roberts. Money just flows into that operation, and that is an equally oppressive kind of a society as the public. In the middle are, you know, the Harvards, but the Harvards aren't a good example. The St. Olaf's and the Capitals and the rest of these institutions that I'd call them kind of like the legitimate Christian higher educational institutions, and they have an awful time getting money.
I read recently that 12% is supposed to fail within the next year.
Part of the reason is because the student population in the 80s will boom, way down. Tremendous drop. We're going to have state institutions standing empty in the 80s. You know, we got so many buildings built and everything right now to meet these masses, and there's going to be a gigundous, tremendous drop. Those are the logarithms, the statistics. The war babies are done, and we're ready to. It's going to be all over.
Don't you think the increase in adult education will help somewhat to balance more and more people in their 40s and 50s are going to college now?
Yeah, and it's really beautiful. But I don't think it can't, there's no way it can make up the difference. Not with the mentality of the American public at this time. It could be in the future because, wow, you know, it is such a significant drop that it would take an awful lot of mature adults to get back into the swing of things all of a sudden.
In the case of California losing size, we have more master's degrees now, and that's mostly adult people who have come back to get more education, even after being out in the professional and the educational world. They come. We had more master's than we had AP or BA.
It's really significant, yeah.
Could you say something up to me of why a church-related school is not more expensive than a...
Oh, yeah, good. Every private institution asks you to submit a form that makes you bare your soul in your life. Financial form for parents. And you will discover when you submit those things to most private institutions that they have large grant and aid, all kinds of student aid packages that are available. And you don't know exactly what it's going to cost you. For instance, at Capital University, until you've submitted that kind of proposal. And you will discover in many cases, unless you're a small millionaire, and the number of students you have and the number of kids and how much you owe on your house and all that is all very much involved, you may discover that the difference between a private institution and a state institution is not many dollars. But
I
you don't...
many students that have left private expensive schools after running out of money in 2 years and come to a larger state school. Many students.
I think California might be a big exception. I don't know about the other states.
Because our boy is going to a junior college and living at home and just buying books and that's it. So I have a hard time. You know, I'd love to go.
Then the university system isn't even that much money, though.
Well, you know, at Capital University, I wish I had the figures, but like 80% of the people get student aid, some kind of financial assistance. And just little Capital University has $4 million that's used against those tuitions of people who enter that college.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of those institutions that give aid to get you there, and then they cut you off after the first year or the second year.
That's bad news. It shouldn't be. You know, it shouldn't be.
You said so many institutions are going to have to fail. I mean, this is going to happen. How are you going to select the ones that are that have to go?
I guess they don't follow.
Well, since there are so few students, some of these institutions have to fail. I suppose it has to be the ones that can't make it financially. And this may be some good colleges.
What are you saying? How do you know which one to select to send
your
kids to?
I'm saying that this is inevitable, and you're going to have to accept the fact that these schools are going to fail.
I'm really not sure that you have to accept that as inevitability, that it's just a demand that, you know, if the United States has as its higher educational system the public system, totally public, and on the other extreme a severely fundamental kind of higher education, nothing in the middle, I think we're in trouble. And it seems to me that, you know, just recognizing that for the sake of the well-being of the nation, we had to do something if we had to dig in our own pockets to work for the survival of the institutions in the middle that right now aren't very popular.
And you'll have to close some of the public institutions.
Who's Howard? No,
yeah.
Up here.
Yeah. I just want to say 2 points. I happen to know that at Valparaiso University, for instance, the average family income of students getting aid is $23,000 a year, and that's the average. So that means, you know, you add this and add this.
Up and down.
I'd just like to say one other thing, too. I think that as the enrollment is going to go down 25% in the next 10 years, that we in church-related schools, or schools, that universities that have a Christian statement, we better get in there loud and clear and say it. Because I think it's the schools that are going to say, gosh, things are going to be hard. We're going to have to get out of the marketplace. And we're going, if we have to go a little bit secular, okay, to get more government money, all right. And in a minute, we're going to stand for absolutely nothing. And we're the ones that are going to go down. I think the schools that have a strong mission, who really are responding to and encouraging a consistent constituency and really trying to be there for some real reason will survive. And if we tend towards secularism, we've had it.
Yeah, it's really an interesting thing that the church-related colleges are doing a real about-face. 10, 15 years ago, it was considered to be an embarrassment, kind of, to be associated with the church. That colleges were jumping in there to grab off all these students who were coming along, and the feeling existed that to be church-related was a negative. That is totally reversed now. That every survey and all that kind of business is saying that a real strong Christian statement and a church relationship is very important for your institution. And people who sort of lost their church relatedness are getting back to it.
Yeah. It seems like it's really limiting it then to either the poor families or the richer families, and the middle class are kind of being left out, which would probably be the ones, being the larger proportion, the ones to give to the colleges to keep them going, you know, and their kids are being kind of...
I think there are correctives for that already taking place. That the income in Ohio, for instance, they used to say that if your combined income is 17,000 or more, don't even. Now that's higher. Somebody said it's not true.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It's the 23,000.
Right.
There are people getting 40,000 and 50,000 who are on grants. That's just the average. It depends on, you know, what your other commitments are, how many college age kids you've got. Right.
What I'm trying to say is she reflects a true opinion of a few years ago. Now those levels are higher, and you know, there's all kinds of aid available.
I think in the future it'll be less, and I know the school I go to, they keep talking more and more of cutting out the aid and just admitting people that can, looking in the past they've had sort of a blind way of who gets in and then looking at how much they need. But now they're talking more and more of looking at those who can pay and giving them, you know, some extra advantage and doing that more and more. And I think a lot of other institutions are going to have to do that too.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
When you talk about the decline in enrollment, I know in the state of Minnesota, one of the things that not only do we have a decline in enrollment in elementary and high schools, which will eventually affect the colleges, but we have quite a system of vocational schools that are having a very, very, very good placement record of their graduates. And these people are channeled to these technical schools and get the good jobs after a year or 2 years. And this is going to cut into the potential that colleges have as far as getting people to their institutions. I don't know if that's true in all
most of our states have a large network of vocational schools, community schools, two-year school. Observation.
No, I was just going to, a while ago, the question from this gentleman over here was, I think his question was, how would you determine which of these schools is to close? And I think economics of the thing would do that. But when you say you, I think of Lutherans in general, how the rest of them would do it is another thing, but I think it would be much the same. If we found, say, 10 of our Lutheran colleges with only 30 or 40% of its capacity there, I think within the Lutheran system they'd find out and pick, say, this college is going to close, we'll have to shift our students to this one. And without worrying about it reopening again, because also the statistics show that this children boom thing is going to come again in about 4 years or 5 years, that they would only sit empty maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that. In other words, it's not a permanent thing that we're going to run out of babies, college babies, so to speak.
I think we are. We started out in, you know, sort of talking about the morals, etc., of college students. Happy to get into all this other stuff in terms of finances and where we're going. That's been a whole lot of fun. And I think we better get out of here so we don't go late to Vespers. But thanks for your interest. Come again sometime.